Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Dale. I don't mind following good singing at all. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, Mary's Christmas Story. Last time we looked at Isaiah's Christmas story as the Holy Spirit allowed him to look 740 years into the future. And today we're going to be looking at Mary's Christmas story under the subtitle of When God Messes Up Your Plans. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and I'm going to ask all that are able to stand to do so in the honor of the reading of God's Word. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of the ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What is more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, open our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits to Mary's story. And Lord, help us to understand that when you mess up our plans, it's always a better plan. Speak to us now, God, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, sometimes we make some big plans, and they don't turn out like what we thought. Sometimes our plans get messed up because we mess up our own plans. Sometimes you may have a great plan and somebody else comes along and messes up your great plan. But sometimes what is really going on is as we have made our plans, God has a different plan and God messes up our plan with His plan. I'm reminded of a woman who went to a mall in New York to take her son to see Santa. He was going to sit on his lap and give him his Christmas wish. However, when she got to the mall, she was shocked to see that her ex-husband, who hadn't been paying child support, was playing Santa at the local mall. So she marched right out, went down to the courthouse, and got a court injunction against him, went down to the mall and slapped the injunction on his knee and said, "Ho, ho, ho." Well, I'm sure that's not what he had planned that day. Well, sometimes our plans get messed up. What does it mean when God messes up our plans? Look here in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, we only have a couple days left in 2018. Probably many of you have already bought your 2019 calendar. You've already started putting dates in it. You already got things planned for next year. But notice, the Scripture says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is God's purpose that will prevail. God has a plan for your life. But you may not see it that way. You may see it that God has messed up your plans. What does that mean? Well, number one, it means God is trying to get your attention when God messes up your plans. Psalm 81:13, I wish my people would listen to me. I wish Israel would live my way. In this verse, who is I when it says, I wish? That is God speaking. All right, and who is He speaking to? My people. Who would that be? That would be us, wouldn't it? Aren't you His people? If you're not, you can be. But think about that. He said, I wish my people would listen to me. Are you listening? God is speaking. Are you listening? You know, sometimes we just get distracted. I don't know about you, but I am ADDHD, okay? So I'm easily distracted. And so God sometimes messes up our plans in order to get our attention. See, sometimes we're asleep at the wheel, not really paying attention. My oldest son has the gift of going to sleep and being sound asleep when he is asleep. You know, when they do surgery on you, they don't say, well, we're going to put them under. We say, we're going to put them to sleep. Well, they had evidently watched someone like my son sleep. You could do surgery on him when he's asleep. Well, he's about 5 or 6 years old. The San Francisco 49ers were popular. My wife was a Joe Montana fan. And she wanted a Joe Montana NFL-endorsed jersey. Well, Sports Authority in Gastonia didn't have one. But the one in Charlotte did. So Nathan and I, we go on a journey to Sports Authority. Well, we're in my little red Sunbird. Not a Firebird. You know, it's like a Honda Civic. It's a little car. And we're going over there, and he falls asleep. Right? And we're over there in Charlotte, and we're stopped at a light, and a big Suburban is not paying attention. And it comes and plows into the back of us and pushes my trunk into the back seat. $8,000 damage on a $12,000 car. I mean, it was messed up. And I look over there, and my son is slumped over. And I thought, oh gosh, he's broke his neck. He's dead. I'm scared to death. I said, Nathan! 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 And I grabbed him and I yanked him. I said, Nathan! And he looks up and he said, huh? Huh? Why? I said, are you all right? We were in a wreck. He said, we're in a wreck. Are we going to die? I said, I don't think so. But some of you are just like that. You have gone asleep at the wheel. And God will mess up your plans in order to get your attention. Look here what it says in God's Word. Sometimes our plans are disrupted. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I think Mary had a good plan. I'm going to marry a good God-fearing man. We'll buy some land. We'll build a house. We'll have a couple of kids. And we'll live happily ever after. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, Mary, God has a great plan for your life. It wasn't what Mary had planned. I know what that's like. I was a freshman in college. I was studying to be a chemist. I'd taken 3 years of chemistry in high school. I loved chemistry. I was a lab technician in research and development lab. And we were having revival at our church. And during the invitation, the evangelist just stopped and said, God has revealed to me that he's going to call several men to the ministry. And we're going to stop and pray right now. And we're all praying. And God said, you're one of them. Well, see, that wasn't my plan. My plan was I was going to go to school for 4 years. I was going to live at home, commute back and forth. I was going to get me a good job in the lab. I was going to make lots of money. I was going to retire early, and I was going to live a good life. God said, I got a different plan for your life. So sometimes our plans get disrupted. And next, notice often our plans are flawed. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Have you ever had a good plan and it ended up being a dead-end road? Have you ever thought, oh, this boyfriend is the one, this girlfriend is the one that's going to lead to everlasting happiness, and you go down that road only to find out it's a dead-end road? Well, sometimes our plans turn in to dead-end roads. Why does that happen? God's trying to get our attention. Years ago, my father-in-law and I, we built a little chuck wagon trailer to haul around all the RA boys when we'd take them camping at church. And we had finished it up, and Teresa and I decided we was going to take it out on its maiden voyage. I mean, you know, it's all made from scratch, even the axle and the wheels. So we got out there, and we were riding down the road, and I turned down this one road, and it wasn't marked dead end, but it was. And if you know anything about a little small utility trailer, the smaller it is, the harder it is to turn, isn't it, Tim? Oh, yeah. And so we're on this little skinny residential road, and I can't back this thing up and turn it around. And so I looked at my wife, and I said, sweetie, we're going to have to get out, unhook this trailer. I'm going to have to turn around, back up, and we'll have to rehook it up to go the other way. She said, okay. So we got out there and had it turned sideways and turned it around. And I said, now you hold it here. The problem was we was on a little hill. Okay? She's in a dress. And she's sitting there holding it, and I get in the truck, a little Mazda truck, and I try to turn it around, and I'm trying to back up, and I'm looking back there, and she's going down the hill like this right here. The trailer's dragging her. Well, what I had to do is I had to stop, get out of the truck, run down there, catch it, stop it, turn it sideways. It was a mess. I'm telling you, my heart's a beating a mile a minute. Now, it's funny today, but it wasn't real funny then, was it, Tracy? It wasn't funny then. We're scared to death. Runaway trailer hits car, you know? Well, sometimes what happens is God disrupts our plan because our plan is flawed. We end up being on a dead-end street, and God's saying, I need you to make a U-turn. I need you to make a turnaround. And then number three, often our plans are limited. In verse 34, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. Did you know Mary was right? Gabriel, what you're telling me is not humanly possible. It is not possible for a virgin to have a baby. But you see, she had a limited scope about what was humanly possible, and God had a plan that only God could make possible. You see, sometimes God has a different perspective. God sees the future as well as the past, as well as the present. And because God knows what's in the future, God has a different plan from us sometimes. Have you ever been on a curvy section of road, like you're going up to Chimney Rock, you know, and it's just real curvy, and you get behind somebody and they're going really, really slow? And you think, gosh, I'd like to pass them, but I can't see what's coming around. You know, I'd hate to put on the accelerator, go around them, and there's a Big Mac truck. Wouldn't it be neat if you had a little drone, you could just press a button, and that drone would go out and fly up around and look at it and send you a message back, say, hey, it's clear for the next half a mile. Go ahead and pass on. Wouldn't that be cool? Somebody invent that and patent it, okay? But here's the thing about it is God can see around the corner. God can see ahead down the road. God can see in the future. And many times we make our plans based on our limited resources, and God has a plan based on His unlimited resources. Look at Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. Some of you right now are facing some tough decisions. Some of you are facing some tough circumstances, some difficult problems, and you're saying, I just don't see any way out. And humanly possible, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when God messes up your plan, He's trying to get your attention. Number two, when God messes up your plans, He has a different plan. Verse 36. Now, Elizabeth, your relative, is also pregnant with a son, though she's very old. Everyone thought she could not have a baby, but she has been pregnant for 6 months. God had a different plan for Elizabeth. God had a different plan for Mary. And if God messes up your plans, God has a different plan for your life. Here are a couple of observations that I've noticed. Number one, God's plan is always bigger than your plan. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. All right, what was Mary's plan? I'm going to get married to Joseph. We'll buy some land, build us a little house, have a couple kids, live happily ever after. Well, it's God's plan. God's plan's bigger. You're going to have a virgin birth, something that has never happened before, that will never happen again. The child that you will have will be great, will be the Son of God, will be the Savior of the world. A lot bigger plan than Mary had. See, when God messes up your plans, it generally means He has a bigger plan. One of the preachers that I've loved to listen to preach over the years is a guy by the name of Bailey Smith. He's preached a couple of countywide crusades here in Gaston County. Bailey Smith tells the story that when he was little, he had a second-hand, hand-me-down bicycle. He was just tickled that he had a bicycle. But the bicycle just had bare handlebars. You know, didn't have any handlebar grips. You know, they wore off and been tossed before it was handed down to him. And one day he went with his dad to the Western Auto Store. And his dad was up there at the counter talking to this fella, and he kept on talking and talking. Well, little Bailey starts wandering around, and he finds a section there that has handlebar grips. And they're red, and they have white and red streamers coming out of them. And they're only 50 cents. So he grabs two of them, goes up to the counter, and says, Dad, can I get these for my bicycle? He said, no, son, put them back up. Please, Dad, they're only 50 cents. No, son, I said, put them back up. You can't have them. Well, little Bailey was upset, dejected, went home with his lips hung out, pouted around for the next 2 or 3 days. But on the third day, when he got off the school bus that day, he walked into the house. Sitting in the living room was a brand new Red Flyer bicycle. You see, what had happened was his dad was spending all of that time at the counter ordering him that brand new bicycle. Now, Bailey's plan was, I just get some 50-cent handlebar grips to make mine look better. But Dad had a bigger plan, and that was to get him a brand new bicycle. You see, so many times we have our plan, but God has a bigger plan. That sounds good, doesn't it? But notice also, God's plan is always harder than your plan. Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. All right, so God's got a better plan. God's got a bigger plan, but notice it's harder. You see, it's a whole lot easier to get married when you're supposed to, as opposed to becoming pregnant while you're still engaged. Imagine the 9 months of gossip and rumor mongering that went on, okay? Not only that, but while she is 9 months pregnant, all of a sudden, the emperor orders everybody to go register for taxes. Well, Joseph's family is from Bethlehem. That's 3 days' journey. All right, so here you are, 9 months pregnant, and the government requires you to go on a 3-day trip. Well, guess what? She didn't ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem in an SUV. Most of the pictures you see show her riding a donkey. But that's probably not true. If Joseph would have had a donkey in that male-dominated society, he would have ridden the donkey and Mary would have walked. But either way, it was a tough journey. Imagine, ladies, you're 9 months pregnant and you ride a donkey for 3 days. You're 9 months pregnant and you have to walk almost 100 miles. And then when you get there, there's no place to stay. You end up in the barn, and then guess what? Your water breaks, the baby is coming, mama is 100 miles away, your aunts, your cousins, all of your support group, you're in a barn. You see, God's plan might be bigger, but many times God's plan is harder. And have you ever wondered, why did God do it that way? I mean, think about it. If you were God, how would you have done it? Well, I'd have sent my son on a white stallion to Rome. We'd have had satellite television announcing it to the whole world. Wouldn't you? Would you have done it this way? Why did God do it that way? Well, I believe one of the reasons is nobody is afraid of a baby. Are they? Do you know anybody who's afraid of a baby? Now, if I come as a general on a great white horse to the capital of the world, people might say, oh, gosh, something bad's about to happen. But a little baby, look, we have a little baby right here. You know, everybody, ooh, look at the, everybody loves a little baby. And so God sent his son as a little baby. And then number three, God's plan is always more rewarding than your plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Mary has a nice plan. God has a different plan. It is bigger, it is harder, but it is also more rewarding. Notice how many times in the Scriptures when Jesus would do something, the Bible says, "And Mary cherished it in her heart." Going back to my situation, God called me to be a minister of the gospel. I can tell you it's a bigger plan than I had. I can tell you it was a lot harder plan than I had. But I can also tell you that it's allowed me to do a work that touches people's lives, changes the eternity of people, and it is a much more rewarding plan than my plan. That's what God's plan is when he messes up our plan. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "This is what is meant by the Scriptures which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord." You see, some of you are afraid of God's plan. If I totally surrender to God's plan, God is going to have me do something that's going to make me miserable that I don't want to do. Now, parents, listen to that. If your children came to you and said, "Mom, Dad, listen, you're wiser than I am, you're smarter than I am, you know more about life than I do, and whatever you want me to do, I surrender. I'll do it." You say, "Oh, boy, I've been waiting for this day. Now go clean the toilets." Is that what you would do? No. If your children came to you and said, "Hey, you know what? I trust you. I want what's best for my life. And whatever you do, I'm willing to do it." Well, you know, as a parent, if you wouldn't do that, what makes you think that our Heavenly Father would do any different? Number three, when God messes up your plan, God wants you to trust Him. Verse 38, may all of us respond to God's plan the way Mary did. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever He wants. Amen? May everything you said come true, and then the angel disappeared. Wow, what an awesome response. Whatever you want, God, that's what I will do. Do you understand that life down here on earth is a test? It is a test for eternity. And so when God messes up your plans for a different plan, He wants you to trust Him and realize that that is a test. It's a test of your faith. Do you really trust God? Notice here that when God messes up your plans, He wants you to seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When your plans get messed up, what do you seek? Do you seek a solution? Do you seek relief? Do you seek an explanation? What should happen is you should seek Him. You should seek God. But so many times we seek an explanation. Why God? Why God? Why? Why is this happening to me? When our plans are messed up, God wants us to seek Him. God wants us to trust Him. And that brings me to the last point, and that is God wants you to believe in Him. Psalms 138:8 says, the Lord will work out His plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. If God says something, do you believe it? If God says He's going to do something, do you think God will do it? Is God worthy of your trust? I have a quote up here from one of my favorite pastors and authors, Rick Warren. Now, realize when Rick Warren says this, his wife has had a very deadly, aggressive form of cancer and survived. When he said this, his oldest son, Matthew, at age 27, committed suicide. But I love what he said. He says, sometimes you don't know God is all you need until God is all you got. Have you been into a place where your plans have been messed up and you're saying, oh, I need this and this and this? God is saying, all you need is Him. Do you trust Him? Do you trust God? Life is a test. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You trust God? Well, let me just bring this down to earth. I want to ask you a question. Raise your hand. If you believe that if I tell you something is true, you can trust me. Raise your hand. All right, if I tell you I'm going to do something, then I'll do it. If you trust me, raise your hand. All right? Macy, come up here and help me out, since you trust me. You trust me, right? Well, let's give it up for Macy. Macy, just sit right there. Now, you trust me, right? If I say it's right, it's right. If I say it's wrong. You trust me. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You trust me. Okay, awesome, right? Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fill this bag up with water. Okay? Here, I want you to pour it, and you stop pouring when I say stop. There we go. You're doing great. And we want to get a bunch of it in there. Because we can't get you wet unless it's full, okay? All right, that's good right there. That's good. Right? This is about 2 pints of water, right? Let me make sure I got it sealed up good. There we go. All right. Now you trust me, right? Here's what I'm going to do. I have some pencils here, 5 of them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold this bag of water over your head. And I'm going to poke 10 holes in this bag. But I'm not going to get you wet, okay? You trust me? Okay. Well, listen, I tried this at home to make sure it worked. So I got this hat right here for you just in case. Just in case I'm wrong, okay? We wouldn't want to mess your hair up. Here, you put it on. It's nice pink. That's why I picked you. Okay? But there's a lot of water in here, so I brought a beach towel too. Okay? All right? Now, you trust me, right? You trust me. All right? Now, Trey over here is going to give me a drum roll in a minute. All right? Now, when I go to puncture this, when I hold up a pencil, you say, 1, and I'm going to push it, okay? And I hold the next one, you're going to say, 2. He's going to have a drum roll, and I'm going to poke 10 holes in here, but you're not going to get wet. You trust me, right? I'm a little nervous. I tried this about a dozen times at home, okay? Are you ready? You ready? All right, we're going to put it in the middle. See here? All right, are you wet? All right, give it up for Macy. She said she trusts me. But you know, as we went along, I could see a little doubt. Now, let me ask you something. Do you trust God? It's easy on Sunday sitting there in the pew when God says, trust me, trust me. It's easy for you to say, yes, I trust God. But when God asks you to come up on the stage of life and use you as an example of His love and His grace and His mercy to show to the whole world that you have trust in God's plan, do you trust Him then? Here's a pointed question. Does Macy trust her preacher more than you trust God? She took me at my word. She trusted that I was not going to humiliate her and soak her in front of all of you people. And when God comes along and messes up your plan, and God says, I have a better plan, it's really a test. Can you trust Him? Will you seek Him? Will you believe in Him? Will you trust in Him? Romans 8:28 says it this way, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His what? Plans. Phil, if I had you a Christmas gift and I went out and I'd really searched and got the just perfect gift and I wrapped it up and I gave it to you, and 3 months later, I would see you, Phil, and I'd say, how did you like my gift? And you'd say, oh, well, preacher, I hadn't unwrapped it yet. I'd say, what? Well, why haven't you unwrapped it yet? Well, I've been really, really busy. You know what? If Phil would do that, it'd probably hurt my feelings. It might even offend me a little bit. But you know what? He would miss out on the benefit of the gift. I wonder how many people are in this sanctuary today, and God has wrapped a beautiful gift. He's placed it in your life, and you haven't unwrapped it by faith yet because you've been so busy with so many other things, you have missed out on what God wants to do in your life. What is Mary's story? Mary's story is when God messes up your plans, He's trying to get your attention. When God messes up your plans, God's got a different plan. It's a bigger plan, a better plan, a harder plan. When God messes up your plans, God is saying, do you trust me? Will you trust me? I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. What is it that the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart today? God knows your situation. God knows your plans. And God has a perfect plan for your life. Would you slip out of your seat and just come to this altar and say, God, I accept the gift of your plan. God, I may not understand it, but God, I trust you that you have a better plan, a bigger plan, a greater reward. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of invitation and commitment, may we be reminded, Lord, of Mary's example where she said, I am the Lord's servant and I am willing to do whatever He wants. God, may that be our prayer. May that be our testimony. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions. For we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.